So excited about the prospects of the coming year, and that's why I'm preaching to you for the last time out of the book of Ephesians chapter 2. And I'd invite you to turn there to two verses, verses 20 through 21, Ephesians 2 verses 20 through 21. And on this last Sunday in 2019, and at the dawn of the new year, 2020, I want to preach about first things first. Starting right in 2020 from Ephesians 2, 20 through 21. And I invite you, if you've not brought your Bible today, just reach right in front of you, get one of those black pew Bibles, and turn with us to page number 1344, and you'll find yourself at our text for the day. We certainly want to start right, to have a glorifying 2020 year, and we want it to be a time that is effective and a time that is productive. And Ephesians 2, 20 through 21 tells us how to do that. I've provided my listening guide for you there in the worship pages, and I hope that you'll follow along, take a few notes of your own as we look together at that subject. First of all, as we start out the new year, we look at what should be our foundation. Beginning there in the first part of verse 20, it says, the foundation of the apostles and prophets. It's no real surprise to us to start out by talking about the foundation. That's where everything begins. But Paul adds to that this foundation should be composed of two things in particular: the apostles and the prophets. Why does he say that? Well, the apostles were those who had ministered with Christ throughout his earthly time here with us in the world, and they had witnessed his resurrection, and he had inspired them with teachings and with words and with sermons that now compose the Holy Scriptures, but not just the New Testament apostles, but also the Old Testament prophets. They were given messages from God, and many times their sermons were received with grateful hearts, and many times they were difficult messages for us to hear. But nonetheless, words from God used to produce sanctification in our lives. And that's why I say that at First Baptist Church and in the lives of each one of our members, we must be Bible-based. Our foundation must be founded on the holy, inspired Word of God. Anything else would be the quicksand of heresy. And we don't want to get off there into opinions and speculations that do not have their root and founding in the Word of God. And that's why I also want to say, at the dawn of this new year, that Sunday school is so vitally important for every member of the family. That's where you're going to have the foundation laid for the teachings of the apostles and the prophets in your life, and you're going to be stronger. You're going to have a better base of understanding as you study God's Word. But as we launch out into 2020, we see not only our foundation, but we also see our initialization, and we see that in the second part of verse 20 there, reading along with me, that Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Now, a lot of times we don't fully understand the ways of construction in Bible days, but a cornerstone was vitally important to the structure itself, because everything was oriented towards the stone that was in the corner of the foundation. It was the starting point. Everything was centered off of this cornerstone. And for us, Jesus Christ is that cornerstone. Everything we do should be oriented by Jesus. He is our starting point. And if it's not initiated by Christ in the life of the believer, it is worthless and in many cases harmless. Let's make sure that we are not the initiators of game plans and ideas and strategies, that it is Jesus who is the one who is initiating, and he is the one that we are orienting everything toward as our starting point. This is what the Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him," that's Jesus, "will by no means be put to shame." Look again at that verse on the screen, 1 Peter 2:6. He is our cornerstone, and I love what it says there. If we believe in him, we will not be put to shame. Well, we see here a portrayal of that cornerstone. Jesus, the cornerstone, is the one who is the initiating point. He is the starting point, and he gives every other matter of construction material meaning and purpose and function in the life of his building. So, moving on now, we go to another thing to consider as we spell out the word first, and that is we should be looking at not only our foundation, where we are Bible-based, and our initialization, Jesus being our cornerstone, where we are Christ-centered, but also our relationships. I want you to examine your relationships as we look at a very important word here in this verse. It says, "And the whole building being joined together." I've underlined that word "together" in my English translation because it speaks of the kind of relationships I have with the building materials which are around me. Some of you have translations saying that they are fitly framed or fitted together. The idea is there is not one piece of construction material that is standing alone in isolation. It has been fitted together with others so that it is stronger, and so that it has purpose, and so that it has meaning, not only in that individual's life, but in the life of the entire structure. And this is the scripture that is in 1 Peter 2:5, which says, "You also, as living stones," think about that, the stone in a structure, it seems to be inanimate, but the stones that Jesus is fitting together in his sanctified holy body, the church of the living God, are living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. And it says that they rise up together and offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Well, I have in my backyard a stone wall. Actually, it's a series of walls. I wanted to take a picture of it, but it's been so rainy these last few days. I have been working on this construction project for the 13 years I have been your pastor. And it started out as just a little level on the back hillside of our 3 acres. And it was just going to serve the purpose of putting a chair out there for me and a chair for Amy, where we could go back in the quiet of the day in the woods and just enjoy the woods together. Well, that started growing and growing and growing to where now that original level is bigger than the living room in my home. And there are several chairs out there, and I got to working at it throughout the years and said, well, you know, another level from the top leading down would be nice. And so I built another level right above it, kind of in a staircase fashion. And then after I finished that, I said, well, you know, 2 levels are good, but 3 are even better. So I built a third level, And then finally a fourth level, and now I'm engaged in putting railroad ties from the top of our hill all the way down to those four levels. And over these 13 years, as I have placed stones at particular places in this rock landing, these rock landings, they've reminded me of this scripture that I just read to you about us being living stones that God strategically places in the structure of His building, the church. And I've got stones that are different colors, different sizes, different ages, different shapes. I not only uncovered stones that were on my lot as I was excavating land to make these levels, but I went to other vacant lots in the neighborhood, and I'd see a stone and I'd say, wow, that'd make a great stone for my fire pit. And so I'd open up the trunk and put that stone there. I don't know how many times I did that. And I would put these stones in place, and God would do something as I would do that. He would remind me of people in my church. And if you ever came to my backyard, you could go down there with me, and I could say, you know, that stone's name right there is so-and-so in our church, because it reminded me of that person and perhaps a function they have in our church, or the placement that they have in our church, or their size, their shape, their strength, their support. And so practically every stone that I have put out there over these 13 years that I've been your pastor has a name of a person in our church, not written on it, but in my mind. And that's what God is doing still here at First Baptist Church. That construction project that started 13 years ago for me and is still going on for God started 2,000 years ago, as He put the initial stones in His building, the church, and it has been continuing and continuing and continuing over these 2,000 years to this very day. Just like in this local body of believers, the first place that this church worshiped was over here someplace in Oak Hill Cemetery. I could take you over there in 1828. That's what Elizabeth Beers, our local historian, told me. And it's interesting that back there 191 years ago, that's where the first seven stones were laid for First Baptist Church Newnan. They had names. You could go out here in the North Axe and read the first seven members of First Baptist Church. They were the first seven living stones that were placed into the life of this church. But over these 191 years, more and more stones have been fitted and joined together and are fitly framed, not by the pastor, but by the master carpenter himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. And even this day, He wants to add stones to this ongoing building project. And sitting out there in the pews, you might be one of those living stones. You're the right person to be fitted into His structure right now. And by His providence, by His sovereignty, He has chosen you to be in the life of this building together, not in isolation, not out there in a field somewhere by yourself, but in togetherness and in relationship with each other. And so relationships are vitally important as we launch out into the year 2020. Do you have the right kind of relationships? Do you have a church relationship? Do you have relationships with other believers that gives you strength, that you're fitted with them and you have a purpose using your gifts, your background, your talents, your passions to do what God has called you to do? Well, it's important, but not only that, as we look into the new year and we put first things first, it's not only our F foundation and our I initialization, with Jesus being our cornerstone, our point of orientation. If He doesn't initiate it, it's not worth it. Everything is oriented toward Him. And our relationships, as we're being joined or built or fitted together, it's also S, our spread. And you see that in the word grow here, as we look in verse 21. of Ephesians chapter 2, it says, in whom the whole building being fitted together, there's the relationship, does what? It grows, or it might be in your Bible, rises. The idea is of a spreading footprint of the building that God is constructing. And God wants us to increase. He wants us to be enlarged, not only as a local body of believers, but as the church universal. This is what he said in his parable on the mustard seed in Matthew 13, 31 through 32. It says, in another parable, he, Jesus, put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, there's that word, it is greater than the herbs and the trees, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. You think about the mustard seed, that small, insignificant organism that God planted in the earth 2,000 years ago that sprouted and then started to grow and became a tree. It was the church of the living God. And over these 2,000 years, it has grown and grown and grown. And the canopy has spread worldwide as branches go to some of the most distant places in the earth. As we emphasize our international missions during this month of thanking God for our foreign missionaries and giving towards their need to spread the gospel throughout the world, we think about how we have branches that are extending out into Japan as we pray for them, as we support them financially, out into China, out into Korea, out into different places all over the world that we personally could never go, but this church's branches and influence spread out to those places, and birds from all over the world come and nest there, even more personally in Uganda, as we have been encouraging Ebenezer Baptist Church there, and as it is growing and more people, including Muslims from the area, are coming and hearing the gospel and coming to know Christ and finding nesting places there in the spreading canopy of God's growing church. And so we want to spread our influence to the darkest and the most distant places. We want to go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That's what it means to be an evangelist. That's what it means to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we think about 2020, we think not only about our F foundation, our I initialization, our R relationships, our S spread, but also our T temple, looking there at the last statement in verse number 21, it says that we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord. That's talking about our physical bodies. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul made that plain over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. He said, and I quote, or do you not know that your body, that's your physical body, your flesh and blood and bones, that your body is, look at this, the temple of the Holy Spirit? I didn't know that. I thought my body was just an organism with a heart and with a brain and different organs and functions, eyes, hands, fingers, feet, toes. But it's more than that. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he has taken up residence in your life. That's what we talked about last Sunday, about being in Christ and him being in us. The Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ, is living inside you because you are his temple. Again, 1 Corinthians 6:19, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You see, a lot of times we're so unaware of the fact that wherever we go, 24 hours a day, we're taking Jesus with us because he has taken up residence in our lives. And many times we are aware of it, times when he illumines our mind, when we open up scripture and he speaks to our hearts. Many times we're aware of it when he inspires us, when he comforts us, when he encourages us, when he leads us, when he guides us. We're aware of his presence in our life and we're grateful for it. And there are other times we're aware of his presence because as Jesus entered the temple that one day and saw the money changers in the house of prayer and started throwing tables over and driving the money changers out with the whips. Well, guess what? Sometimes he comes into the temple of our lives and we've brought something into our life that is displeasing to him. He says, listen, your body is holy. It is my residence. And this habit, this hang up, this thing that you have brought into your life is a place where I live. We're not going to have it. So physically, you might feel some tables being turned over in your life. You might feel the sting of the whip inside your own life, and you might be wondering, why am I going through this pain? Why am I going through this difficulty? You might want to do a little spiritual inventory and see if you have allowed something into your life that is not pleasing to God. And that's why he's turning over the tables. That's why he's whipping. We want to enjoy wonderful fellowship with him by living in accordance with his will and his plan for our life. This scripture still up on the screen tells us a very interesting fact about our temple. It tells us that we are not our own because we have been bought with a price. Jesus shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to purchase your body as his residence. He loved you so much that he laid out everything he had on the cross so that you might become his own purchased possession. And then I like the last statement there. I've highlighted it for you in yellow on this scripture. It says, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Okay, God's living in me. So I should glorify God in my body. That means the things I do, the places I take Jesus, the activities I'm engaged in should glorify God, not bring shame and disgrace to his name. You might be asking today, well, what can I do with my body, with my physical body today, to bring glory to God? And if God has made it clear to you that you as a living stone, maybe laying out there in some rock pile somewhere and in isolation in some lot by yourself, he has chosen you to be fitted in to the building of this church. What you can do with your physical body today is when in a few moments we stand together and the invitation, the time of commitment is given, you can put one foot in front of another and walk down to the front where I will be. And in doing so, say, I recognize that Jesus has placed me here in the life of this church, and I want to be obedient to him. And I want to serve him with my gifts, with my talents, with my passions, with my resources, with my experience. And that would be glorifying him as you act upon what he is leading you to do today. And that is my prayer, that you would do that very thing as we bow together. Dear Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful year that you have given us. We give you all the credit, all the praise, all the honor and the glory for it. And now, dear God, we pray as we launch out into the new year, 2020, that we would find ourselves in the places that you have chosen for us. Father, I pray for those that are seeking a church home. And we know that they, as living stones, are being planned for by you, and that you want to fit them into the church life building somewhere. And if it's here at First Baptist, we pray that they would find their place, that they would respond in obedience to you today. Father, if there's someone here who has never trusted you and you have never taken up residence in their life, I pray that today they would open up their heart to you so that you would be in them and that they would be in you. And Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.